Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, how about not that for more? You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA/Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
It's a Monday, people. That means it's time for the best hour of your day. It is Moneyline right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh. An exciting divisional round weekend to match up, or should I say recap this weekend, and then take a look at the NFC/AFC championships games this weekend, which I think are going to be incredible. We're not worried about weather conditions in either one. Formidable teams on both sides. Some fun to be had, and also maybe a look at those early Super Bowl lines, which almost guarantees us, Kevin, we're going to have a great football game, or at least some great talk leading up to Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, how are we feeling today? Are we cashed up from this weekend? How did we do?
Oh my gosh. Yesterday was maybe the single best betting day of my life.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure. I have to, considering Not Another Day comes to mind, Donnie, I mean, it was one of those things where all of the pregame stuff was spot on. You know, it's nice when the no sweat parlay that you always expect, like I usually expect to lose those, hit a nice 10-1 in that opening game, and all the live bets were fantastic. So, yeah, the games yesterday were absolutely a treat. Aside from watching the Bills preseason Super Bowl future go up in flames.
Yes, and we'll get to that game here because Travis Kelce, who I thought would have a big game, scored 2 touchdowns in that one. But I had an 11-1 on the table. Travis Kelce gets 2. I need one more out of Travis Kelce and or Stephon Diggs. And I had some chances to get that, and I couldn't get it home. That 11-1 would have been so nice, but it was a good weekend because Saturday I got beat up a little bit. I had basically my day riding on the night game with Deebo Samuel, and he gets injured early in that game. Wasn't nice, but fast forward to Sunday, cracked open a slot machine, knocked down some wagers. It was a good weekend in the house of DRS. So let's get started here on what we saw. And, you know, it doesn't have to go in chronological order, but we'll go with the last game yesterday. Chiefs 27, Bills 24. Unbelievable fourth quarter. Now, truth be told, I enjoyed the first half. I watched it all the way through. Late third quarter, started getting tired. Didn't really see much of the fourth quarter. Woke up, caught the game on replay, and followed it through. And the thing that really caught my attention was the fake punt for the Buffalo Bills in the fourth quarter, which went to DeMar Hamlin. I think I'm faster than DeMar Hamlin, by the way, on that play. I don't know what he was doing, walking to try to get the 5 yards, but it didn't work out. But I was saying to myself, watching the highlights back and forth, oh, no. The Chiefs are inside the 1 yard line. Like, I'm still looking at a 27-24, which I know the game final ended. What happened here? The fumble throughout the back of the end zone, which was a lifeline for the Buffalo Bills. I'm like, this has to be destiny. This is the break you wait for, because if that's a touchdown, it's a 10-point game. It's a wrap. You get beat up. You probably don't even score the rest of the way. You go 3 and out on the next drive, and it's over there. But the fact that they had a chance and drove downfield, missing some key plays along the way, I get that. But if you set up, like, Bass is a very good good kicker. At home, those Buffalo wins. Absolutely terrible kick. A horrendous kick. And as soon as that goes wide right, it's like, you know what? This Bills regime just might as well admit it. This was the year to get the Chiefs where they were down. Very good on defense, Kevin. But next year, the Chiefs are going to reload on offense, particularly at wide receiver. If you couldn't beat them now, I don't think you ever beat them, Kevin.
I think it's more, it's less about beating the Chiefs, and it's more about just the Buffalo Bills, Donnie, not being able to see that one through. Now, to be fair, what was out there on the field for Buffalo was a mash unit on the defensive side.
Yes.
You know, correct. I mentioned the preseason Super Bowl ticket. Well, I had given up on that.
Couldn't have played
him
at a worse time on defense. Yeah.
No, not. I gave up on that number a long time ago, Donnie, less because of the record and more because of what was going to be out there and available defensively. You know, to some degree, and I don't think McDermott had himself a great overall season, he did round that defense out nicely heading in and then still just could not get any break. Like, they should have just seen if their backups could have beat Pittsburgh on the defensive side of the ball, quite frankly, and seen if they could have escaped that game fully healthy. You know, there's a lot of people. If that kick goes in and say, come on, Mahomes would have just gone down and let him. No, he wouldn't have. First of all, he hasn't done it all season long. And Donnie, he had two chances to ice that game, saved by a horrendous defensive pass interference call, and got a fresh set of downs and was stopped again. That Chiefs offense, this is not last year or the year before that or the year before that. This Chiefs team does not do game-winning drives. They just don't. So all Buffalo needed to do was kick that field goal, win the toss, and they would have been going to the AFC Championship game. I truly 100% believe that. But that is why it is such a frustrating thing to recap. When you start playing the blame game, I mean, yes, the defensive injuries were a problem. You got to make the field goal. The wide receivers were atrocious. Josh Allen's decision-making, again, goes in the toilet down the backstretch. Stephon Diggs running wide open underneath. He's taking Hail Mary touchdown chances. It's just everything that could go right looked like it was going to go right. Until it just inevitably collapsed. And, man, it was a shame to watch that team blow up the way that they did.
Yeah. Buffalo Bills had 182 yards on the ground, 4.7 yards per carry, and two touchdowns. Why didn't that work out? Because Kansas City ran for 6.1 yards per carry. Both of these teams getting after it on the ground.
Did you see the the James Cook rushing prop beat? On how that played out, Donnie?
Nope.
67 rushing yards heading into the fourth quarter, prop of 61.5.
Oh, wow.
His carries went, he had, I think it was three or four carries in the fourth quarter for -6 yards, landed at 61. Like, everybody out there, I didn't have that bet. Trust me, if I did, you would have needed to book that page out right away.
Yeah, some books would be like, all right, 62. But they usually hold it a little bit on those before they pay them out, which is always right. But that's a ridiculous beat.
That's about as bad as it possibly. You have a quarter to play. You're winning the wager by 6 yards. Like, it just doesn't even compute that could possibly happen, and it did. So I do feel awful out there for any of the James Cook rushing backers. That was nightmarish when I saw how that ultimately played out. How did the props go for you overall yesterday? Because I know that 11-1 ticket, Donnie, had a lot of life, man.
Yeah, it did. So I lost that one because Stephon Diggs just didn't show up. But again, that's 11-1. You're not supposed to be, cranking away on those. Prop bets, the one I lost was Stephon Diggs over 59.5, who, again, if it makes that one catch, he gets it. But that was a bad play overall. Three catches for 21 yards. I mean, stop the madness at that point. But I did have Travis Kelce over 61.5 yards. That one hit nicely. Great. And then, obviously, the play of the day for me was Baker Mayfield over 1.5 touchdown passes. Oh, yeah. He wound up with 3, but I'm watching that game with 30. We'll get to that game after the break. 30, 40 seconds to go. I'm like, this guy's even throwing a touchdown in the first half, and I'm going to need 2 in the second half. Oh, Mike Evans to the rescue quickly with a Cade Otton touchdown. How did I not play Cade Otton? Hottest putting tight end in the NFL at that point. Let's talk about that game next year and talk about what's going to take place in the future next weekend. Let's do it. It's right here on Moneyline.
sportsgrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. sportsgrid.com.
Right back at it here. Oh, football, football, football. And the question on the network is that, you know, Kevin and I talk off the air quite a bit. He's scared when football's over. I'm not. Like, we got college basketball, NBA, baseball's on the horizon.
Why do you have to do this?
Because I got to let the people know. Like, you're younger in this business. You're a football guy, you always say. Football ends.
But I'm telling you this. I'm going to send this clip to people. Be like, listen, this is how you know Donnie wants to be with me on weekends outside of football. Like, don't let him go anywhere. Don't let him fool you. This is what he wants. Trust me.
How about just like a hit at home? Like, you know, like Jay Wild pop on, you know, a couple people in the network. Like, can I just do like a hit and then I get like a day off during the week for that?
Oh, I was going to say, I can get you. I mean, I'll lock in for the hit right now. Now, I don't know if it's now 15 minutes translate into a full day off. Same
pay.
Clock, not bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the amount they're going to need me on that network here, we'll see what happens. But we are in a crunch, basically 3 weeks, you know, just going over some things. Because we'll be in Vegas for Radio Row. So you got the two games this week, obviously. No games next week, but we leave for Vegas next Saturday. So it's like basically a game week for us next week anyway, because, you know, flying out and getting ready and doing all that stuff, and then away we go in the Super Bowl. We'll get to these. Actually, no, let's do the games now, because I do want to talk about the Super Bowl lines that have opened up at FanDuel. Talk about some of those. And again, the highest number across the board, no matter what matchup it is 4.5, which I think is absolutely fantastic, and we'll get to those numbers in just a bit. But just wrapping up that Buffalo Bills game, it's just a tough loss, but again, 6 straight AFC Championship game appearances now for the Kansas City Chiefs, and doing it all different ways is pretty incredible. Now, earlier yesterday, the Buccaneers and the Lions game, something that most of us had pegged here as a total going to the over, sitting there at 3-3 and chuckling under my breath going like, of course it's 3-3 and 10-10 at the break, and we're not getting the big plays we need, and guys in field goal range getting sacked and missed field goals off the upright. This is the way it is. And we really broke out in the second half, which included 21 points from the Lions on 3 touchdowns, and the Buccaneers chipping in with 2 touchdowns as well. Over 1.5 touchdowns with Mayfield came in. Over 1.5 touchdowns for Goff came in. And we really got some fireworks there.
Yeah, game was explosive. My guy, Jahmyr Gibbs, is the one who opened it up with his 30-yard touchdown run.
Let me tell you
now. So when you have a bet, right? Like, if you bet a wide receiver and you just then watch your wide receiver, he's open every play, right?
Yes.
So Jahmyr Gibbs was given a counter handoff in the first quarter that I was watching. I'm like, I mean, I think he was about to go 75 to the house. But maybe it was my eyes. And immediately Donnie drops me the, wow, Gibbs should have hit a home run there. Oh. And I'm going to be honest with you, DRS, I was sulking for a full hour after that play. I'm like, how many more opportunities are we going to get? That guy was absolutely out of a cannon, and just an incredible tackle by, I believe it was Lavonta David.
Yeah, you can see those plays coming and set up from a mile away, and he got through the first line. I'm like, he might score a touchdown. Forget about 13 or 14 and a half yards. And you saw that hand come out and trip him up. It's like, that's one that was supposed to happen, but he still got it. By the way, you know what? I'm going to fast forward, but get back to this Lions game. And the reason I'm doing that now is because I think these lines are going to change. I might have to lock it in now. Watching that game on Saturday night, Kevin, with Aaron Jones and the Green Bay Packers, I said to myself, I don't know if they're going to be able to run the ball or have some success, because it's tough to run there. And again, it's a road game. It's on grass. And, you know, we'll see what happens. He finishes that game with over 108 yards, which included a very long run of 50 yards. But the reason I bring that up is brings in the play Jahmyr Gibbs' longest rush again this weekend. But they're the same style runner. Give me a gap. I will blast through that thing. And I got moves for days when I hit the second level. This week right now, like Jahmyr Gibbs this morning, we only use the FanDuel Sportsbook, obviously, on a FanDuel show, was 44.5. I think Montgomery's around like 50.5. Bet 365 is hanging a 41.5 on Jahmyr Gibbs this weekend. Now, I know.
Wow.
See what I mean? We might have to move on this. But what I was like setting up saying, if I'm just thinking like the casual, watching this game going like, similar running styles, the chance to hand it off. You saw that play. You have a very good offensive line on the Detroit Lions. you know, Ben Johnson, the same as anybody else, going, look at this. Speed running back, getting those angles here, getting to that second level. That should mean that Jahmyr Gibbs is the lead back in this game, which I do believe he was the lead back in that game this past weekend against Tampa Bay. And I see that number at 41. Like, put it this way, Kevin, this game. Hey, by the way, Detroit wins. What was the rushing number? So Montgomery didn't do much, neither did Gibbs. Nonsense. Nonsense. So I see that Gibbs number at 41.5. I think I got to take it, like, at the commercial break. I think there's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I don't mind the look one bit. I think the idea from the book has to be the Gibbs volume, right, is still not where, listen, you know, I was on him, you know, preseason, and obviously it didn't win and it shouldn't have won, like his rookie of the year stuff, Donnie, but the Gibbs volume is still probably not what a top 15 draft selection, as good as he is, should be. And that's about the only reason that that doesn't get there, is they are still going to stick to some degree their split, and because you are going to need him to hit that home run. So my question to you, Donnie, is would you just rather bet his long rush prop when that gets posted and is available?
The problem, like, is I understand it's a good question, so that's why I'm struggling to answer it. But when if you're saying to me, like, well, he needs 88 yards, right? You're like, well, I mean, that's still a lot of yards. One of those has to go for at least 15. When I'm looking at a number on 40 yards, he gets the ball 8 times, Kevin. 6 yards per carry. Like, not busting it. Like, hey, I got 4 here, I got 7 here, I got 8 here, I got 9 here. You're over it. Like, I almost think about the, if my number is 90 or, hey, I think I get in 100 yards, then I'm like a Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, just go for the long run. Like, what am I worried about him rushing for 105.5 yards? If he's going to hit that 105, he's probably going to break an over 17.5 yard run. Because if you're looking at his numbers down the stretch, he had double-digit carries 5 straight times to end the season, but actually only double-digit carries in the playoffs. But having said that, I know I'm not going to get 8.2 yards per carry like I probably got on Sunday, but I'm just thinking now, he's the lead dog. Like, when I have first and second down, it's Gibbs. If I have third and one, obviously it's not going to be Gibbs. It's going to be Montgomery. If I'm on the goal line, it's going to be Montgomery. But I do think the lead back in this game, reps-wise, is going to be Jahmyr Gibbs.
I just think they're going to stick to their split, Donnie. I really do. Like, the first carry of that game is going to go to David Montgomery. You know? That's just, it's what they've been doing all year long. And I don't think they're necessarily going to
look to get away. If I get 10 carries... If you tell Donnie, you're getting 10 carries out of Jahmyr Gibbs, give me the 41.5. Yeah.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, that's going to be an interesting prop, actually, Donnie, is his attempts prop was 10.5 in that football game.
Yeah.
And he obviously ended up not getting it. But now that's back-to-back weeks. Like, I'm not saying that I know you'd much rather bet his yards or long rush than over 9.5 attempts, but I think that could very well be the number. We might get a 9.5 attempts prop for him transitioning off
I would like
the most
that.
Recent performances.
And I would take that because it's not about him getting like 20 carries, but it makes too much sense to say, hey, look at a shifty back that's been rolling down the stretch, goes into San Francisco and rolls. Because you know as well as I do, yes, you want to pass. And Detroit passes, and they'll run some tempo, and they'll take deep shots here. But at the same time, I do like that and say, look, a speed back got after the 49ers. Let's go with the plotting back and see if that works as well. Now, granted, of course, Montgomery's going to be included, but I just look and say, you know what? The key to Detroit's game this weekend is going to be Jahmyr Gibbs, and I want to get involved on that. I don't know if they have the rushing yards out. Let me just see if we do have rushing attempts. 10.5 at FanDuel is his rushing attempt, so... We'll see if another outlet. Looks like 10.5 across. Nah, not every outlet strong, but they're all 10.5 here. David Montgomery is 12.5 in that game. And it looks like CMC is 18.5 at FanDuel. So there you go.
They didn't move that. See, I was thinking about that, Donnie, because that number was less about the opponent and really more about the McCaffrey workload. If Debo misses this game, though, would that worry you on then a rush attempts under prop for McCaffrey?
No, I think it would go over because I think he gets an extra carry, too.
Well, so I played it under. That's exactly what I'm saying. I like the CMC under last week, Donnie, because he really doesn't actually get over that big number. But Debo being out, it could open up just a couple of extra opportunities.
Yeah, also, and maybe even taking a look at just Jahmyr Gibbs' total yardage for that game. Because, again, if they have a good pass rush, which you know San Francisco does, you're getting a lot of those dump-offs. And Jahmyr Gibbs got some dump-offs last week. 4 for 44 the previous week, 4 for 43. A lot of good stuff here. Let's take a look at what happened on Saturday afternoon in wild card / divisional round action. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
We're right back at it here, Sirius XM Channel 159. Moneyline on a Monday afternoon. Now, I don't know if you saw the hubbub on Twitter, which I didn't see until today. And it just goes to show me sometimes, you know, Twitter, social media, and sometimes I'm a little bit unfair with this. Like, just understand how the game of football actually works. And it did have to do, Kevin, with the Buccaneers and the Lions. 31-23 final, won by 8 points in this. And no, I'm not talking about, like, the dope went for two at the end of the game when they're only down. You know, could have made it a field. We understand why they do that now. It's ingrained in our head. We're trying to win in regulation, even if you don't agree with it, which I technically don't in some instances, particularly in the playoffs where you're guaranteed to get a possession in overtime. It's not like, hey, well, if we lose the coin toss, we might not even get the football again. Let's win in regulation. That's not even what I'm talking about. Do you have any idea, Kevin, what I'm talking about, what people are talking about from the Buccaneers-Lions game?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Kneel-down?
Yeah, the kneel-down. Yeah. Before I give mine, give your take. What did you think about the kneel-downs?
So, I'm, to be totally honest, I stepped away from the game because I knew the game was over. They just had to take their knees, and there was no more football to be played. So, I actually didn't find out about the kneel-down, Donnie, until today, believe it or not. But for those that don't know what happened, Jared Goff and the Lions took the knee too early, allowing the Bucs with one timeout remaining to stop the game and force a field goal. And Todd Bowles said, look, they were already going to line up for the field goal. We wouldn't have had a real chance to come back and win, so that's why I didn't call a timeout, which I think is completely unforgivable. It's the bleeping playoffs. You go until it's over, and this team just gave you a lifeline. I mean, how many field goals have we seen missed in NFL history? So I thought it was impossible to justify and understand, and I thought it was a disastrous decision by Todd Bowles, made only worse by his explanation.
But they weren't calling the timeout, though. That was the whole thing, and Detroit knew that. Like, that's why they snapped the football early. The game was over, and Detroit played it that way. Because the timeout, if you were still playing, Kevin, would have came on the first snap there. You would have called the timeout. I said, okay, well, then we're just going to run the clock out. So I'm going to do the old, let me snap, hot, hike, take 7 steps back, waste 5 seconds, then take a knee, and then do the exact same thing again, and then there's like 1 second to go, and we'll take another knee, and the game's over. The game was over at that point. There was no way that they were getting the football back. None.
No, hold on. If they called the timeout, though, the line, it would have been fourth down.
But again, hear me out on this, Kevin. There was probably, and they're not going to ever tell you that, the head nod on the sideline. Game's over. Game's over. Come out there. Defense goes, yeah, they had a good game. Dap it up. And they just played it out as like almost like a gentlemanly, like, look, we know the game's over. We're not going to jump the snap or do anything. Just take the knees and we'll get out of here on time. Almost like a mutual agreement of what happened here. Otherwise, yes, Detroit wasn't just taking quick knees going like, hey, we just got fooled into that. That game was already over. Both sides knew it. And nobody was calling a timeout.
But that, see, to me, Donnie, then Todd Bowles then says, listen, I acknowledge that we wouldn't have been able to truly stop the clock, so I told Dan.
Yeah, he should have just said that instead of making up a story.
No, but Donnie, I don't know if that, because Donnie, that is the correct answer then. The, listen, they ended the game, we knew that, right? Like, our timeout wouldn't have saved the day. Yes, they snapped it early, but I had kind of motioned over to Dan, congratulations to that team, nobody needed to get injured. That, Donnie, is an acceptable reply, and we wouldn't even be really having this conversation.
He should have just said that. He should have said that.
But Donnie,
because when they didn't call the timeout, but again, they didn't call the timeout. And also, when you're in the huddle, you're already talking to the defensive lineman. Players are looking over to the other sideline, which includes Dan Campbell, and they're probably already putting their headsets away on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Again,
do you see how that played out? Yeah. Yes.
I understand what you're saying, right?
Yes.
But if Todd Bowles would have said that, you and I right now would be maybe debating whether or not you should give a head nod, right? Like, that's not the point. But That's not what Todd Bowles said. He said, the game was already over. So the current mistake here is on Todd Bowles' reply, Donnie.
And he shouldn't have said that.
But, Donnie, I don't... Now we have to assume that there was a head nod and that is 100% the reason why. And I know you're comfortable with that assumption.
Yeah. Like, let's take Todd Bowles out of the equation. Players on the field can call timeouts whenever they want. You don't think one of the 11 guys on defense, the minute that ball snapped, didn't feel like calling a timeout? Because they were told not to. They were told not to. Otherwise, they would have just done it on their own. Hey, timeout. We're in the game here.
Right. Again, I totally understand what you are saying. I'm not saying that I don't, right? But the fact that Todd Bowles gave the answer he gave when Donnie, that response is worse. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if he would have lied and said, look, we made an agreement, right? As opposed to, I forgot, Dan Campbell would have backed him, right? I have no reason to embarrass this guy. Like, it's all good, right? Yeah. And then he would have maybe covered for a gigantic gaffe. Instead, the answer he gave painted him in a significantly worse light than what you fully believe the truth is.
Yeah, he should have just come clean with that. Like, the game was over at that point. I wasn't even thinking about calling a timeout because we wouldn't have had any time anyway. That's all he should have said. He probably was in the moment just trying to make something. Let me just say something on the fly here that I didn't think all the way through. That's all. But it was for, I watched the game, and there was never a point that I even thought about Todd Bowles calling a timeout after the first down play. Like, it didn't even enter my mind. Like, yeah, the game's over.
That's why I walked away.
And then Twitter's oh, man, he should have called a timeout. And I'm saying, there wouldn't have been a timeout. If they called the timeout like they were supposed to on first down, they never would have got the ball back anyway. You see what I mean? It would have been like an underhanded move, which I would have loved to have seen. Like, hey, look, we faked him out on the sideline. Jared Goff and then, that rockhead over there doesn't even understand how the game ends. We wanted to make them kick a field goal. Maybe we blocked it, or maybe they had to go for it, and we had a last chance effort. Now, would they have won the game? No, they weren't winning anyway, even if they got the ball back with, 9 seconds left on their own 30, right? But it's still the concept. It would have been hilarious to say, hey, look, we knew we could outsmart that team and they would maybe snap the ball early at that point.
But again, in that moment, if Bowles would have called the timeout, the idea that he would have burned the relationship with Dan Campbell forever, is probably, Donnie, worth giving your team an extra chance to win a playoff game, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah, I guess it would be and it would have been great.
The onus is on the Lions, Donnie, to snap. Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
The onus is on the Lions to snap that at the appropriate time. You do not end up in the embarrassing moment that Todd Bowles ended up in.
Well, yes, but also they're just let's just get out of here because nobody's stopping the clock. So, all right, what are we hanging out in the huddle for an extra 9 seconds for no reason when we know they're not going to call a timeout? But it would have been great if that timeout got called and then you had a Dennis Allen situation like Todd Bowles. What happened at the end of the game? Yeah, I apologize to the Detroit organization because that's an underhanded move by us. We told them the game was over, but yet we called a timeout because they snapped the ball a little bit too early. That would have been something to actually watch it play out.
But that, again, if the thing is, if they would have, Donnie, there would have been 36 seconds remaining. And the Lions then would have had to decide on whether or not they wanted to kick a field goal or go for it, which isn't the easiest decision in the world. And, I'm just saying, there is a world they call that timeout and get the football back at around, the 40-yard line? With 25-plus seconds remaining?
I would have loved if that would have happened. The defender just out of nowhere is timeout, ref. And they're oh, my God, you did that. Because I think Dan Campbell would have went on the field himself and fist-fought Todd Bowles at, the 30-yard line. Can't believe you would have did that to us here. You put me in a bad light. But the fact that I saw it this morning, I never expected to see it because it never crossed my mind. Once the interception happened, and it's pretty much truthful, if there's under 2 minutes to go and you have one timeout, there's a very little chance, unless something freaky, had a false start with the time stops on your end of it, something just wild like that. And then you decline the penalty and it's still second down, but you know how it goes at that point. But I didn't think anything of it. But I just think people he should have called a timeout when knowing that that's what never was going to happen at that point. Because again, what do we be saying? Hey, Todd Bowles, why'd you go home with one timeout? He calls timeout on first down. It's all right, there's 2 seconds left and it's fourth down and they just snap the football and take another knee. That's what was going to happen if the game played out according.
Yeah. But again, the fact that they took their knee early, like if Bowles in that moment could have been like, well, what the hell are they doing? All right, you know what? Screw this, man. Time.
That which like, would have been like, awesome. They're, like, I would have loved the scene, which, that, to be honest.
Which he would have been, like, well within his right to do, genuinely. Like, why? Like, that was, again, I have no issue with everybody knows the score. Everybody understands that this game is over, okay? And by the way, and to Donnie's credit here, despite we're kind of arguing this a little bit, the game was literally over, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they could have called a timeout and it would have made zero difference. So I have no Correct. Problem with those teams saying, let's be healthy and go home. But mm-hmm. there is an onus then on the Lions to snap the ball at the appropriate time and yeah. avoid making this even a conversation, which it shouldn't even be.
It was almost like the NFL was like, hey, guys, we got to get in here a little bit early to head to the next pregame show. We don't want to interrupt that coverage. Just get out of here because you're right. They snapped it like it was we'd had no timeouts left, which probably is kind of funny that Jared, well, don't put it past any of the Detroit players either, even Dan Campbell. Like, I don't think they have any timeouts anyway. Just snap three times and get out of there. So you know what I mean? Like, that's almost the yeah. way it played out because you're right. It was very cavalier of them to be like, well, again, unless there was a dapping up already after like first and second down, like it's all good. We're just going to snap this, get out of here. Nobody yeah. get hurt and get out of the way. But it would have been funny, like, if they snapped that timeout at that point. It's like, ooh, that's an interesting play here. Because then we really would have got on the Detroit Lions. Like, man, this team isn't ready to play. How are they going to beat the 49ers? They don't even know if any timeouts are left. Who calls a game like that? And so forth and so on. But I thought it was an interesting topic point. Let's get to the other games, which include the Baltimore Ravens' impressive second half. And did the Packers let a 10-bell chance get out of their way with momentum oh. and a possible Super Bowl? My goodness. It's a Monday. Right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline, and we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk about some Saturday games and move forward to the Super Bowl. How about that? Forget about this weekend's lines. Some Super Bowl lines along with them. Packers, 49ers. 49ers advance 24-21. I thought the Packers were the better team all night long. I really did. Game at the half, 7-6. Packers put up 15 in the third quarter, and then the 49ers outscored the Packers 10-0 in the fourth and walk away with that victory. They had a chance in the fourth quarter to put that game away with either a field goal. So, well, they came back and scored a touchdown. Pressure is completely different at that point. They make that 41-yard field goal by Carlson. I think the Packers end up going away and winning that game. But they had a chance to score a touchdown on that drive, but just weren't able to connect late. I thought the Packers were wonderful in that game. The offensive line was great. They made the plays they needed to. Yes, you had a bad interception early in that game, and then certainly that disastrous one late in the game. But for me, I looked at the Packers by saying, that's one you let slip away. Debo got hurt early in that game when it was apparent he was probably going to be a big deal in that game. And the Packers just could not make the plays, like the interceptions that were there to be made. Couldn't make those. One stop on that final drive. Weren't able to do that. Yeah. Big scrambles by Brock Purdy. Great passes and catches by Brandon Ayuk. And there you go. Mm-hmm. 49ers moved on.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, and you know, I'm so busy on a Sunday, even though we have 3 hours, we have to go through things so quickly. And I didn't get to really kind of talk this out, Don, but you know, one of the underrated things, though, I still believe in that game is how well the Niners defense held up. Three different times they were able to force them into field goals. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the two touchdown drives, one of them came because of a 3rd-and-15 pass interference, mm-hmm. and the other was set up by a very long kick return that nearly got fumbled. Yeah. Those were the scoring, you know, that was the scoring out of a Green Bay team that was, you know, playing as hot as any in the entire league. That was, it's just something that kind of sticks with me moving forward, right? You know, sometimes people go, hey, a win is a win is a win. Yes, but we have to evaluate how it happens to help us for the next round and so on and so forth. And, man, Donnie, that Niners defense, yes, the ball was moved on them, but, man, they bowed up in a major, major way. And that game went under that total. And we talked about how, you know, that high total maybe was a bit dangerous. I know on the Saturday show, that Niners defense, so much of the focus is on Brock Purdy and is he good enough and everything. But that Niners defense was just, I thought, actually excellent in that football game, truly.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed that game thoroughly outside of Deebo Samuel getting hurt early in that game. My only chance of watching the rest of it was if Deebo Samuel was going to play, and he kept on. He's on the sideline. He's off the sideline. He's out of the blue tent. He's got a helmet. He doesn't have a helmet.
That was a lot.
Now he's going to be out, and all this when you saw him come out of the locker room without his shoulder pads on, you knew it was a wrap on that point. But that's something that you can't win for the 49ers. Apparently, they couldn't win in the fourth quarter being down by, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever points you are. And they came back in that football game and they won. And credit to them. And again, the 49ers, just make that field goal here. You're moving on. But from a betting stance and a content stance, I'm actually still happy that the 49ers are in it because they're such a fun team to bet. Whether it's Purdy, McCaffrey, the tight end, the wide receivers, you want a defensive prop, they give it to you all. And I think it's a fun matchup this weekend. But I did think the Packers gave one away, which would have had the NFC Championship game in Detroit against the Packers in a dome, which would have been fantastic to watch too. But I'm happy the Niners won.
Did the Niners win season debate?
JP, get his connection real quick.
Oh,
you better. There you go.
Oh, can you man. Hear? I'm having internet issues, actually. No, yeah, wow. I'm having internet issues. So my apologies there. I don't know what that would be.
What are you in studio? That's when did you log in? I mean, what are we talking about? What's going on over there?
Yeah, that B Works connection all of a sudden breaking out. That's a shame. But yeah, I got some, you know, I have my Brock Purdy investment. The thing, Donnie, is I have nothing tied into the AFC at the moment. Like, I just let everything with Buffalo go. And I have no Ravens, I have no Chiefs, so I'm just going to let dust settle on that game, and I'll go from there. That's kind of where I'm at with that whole thing now.
Yeah. How, by the way, how are we feeling about the Ravens after that first game? Because obviously that's the farthest game away. The Ravens struggled in that first half, but you know what my takeaway from that game is? Not that the Ravens blew them out. That I'm waiting because my angle on this game coming moving forward on AFC Championship game Sunday is that the Ravens defense is fresh, it's healthy, it might be getting the best cornerback back. And this past weekend against the Texans team, which I don't care what you say about the Texans, all they're young, they weren't ready to win, that team could sling it on offense. And they absolutely put the Texans in a blender in that game. And also, Kevin, down as many as 2 touchdowns for probably the majority of the fourth quarter, even to begin that, Texans weren't moving the football up and down the field. I loved what I saw of that Ravens defense. And moving forward, that's going to be a big deal this weekend.
Yeah, I said it on our show yesterday. I really do believe that the matchup for Baltimore is the one they got. I think they'll handle Kansas City. I know it's crazy. It might sound hairish, but I didn't come away as impressed as everybody else with the Chiefs being able to win that game yesterday. I just did. I don't know. Like, I get it. The offense moved the football. The Bills had their actual defense is all in a hospital room. Like, that, it's just, it's way different, man, than what the Ravens bring to the table. And, you know, I took a postseason long Lamar Jackson rushing total under. And I knew when I placed the bet that it could look embarrassing, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes you place a bet and you look at that result, you're like, oh, I hope nobody heard me when I said that. And I knew that that was a potential outcome. And that he had 100 yards in the opening game. He needs to have 17 or less, Donnie, against the Chiefs, and they would need to be eliminated. It's not going to happen. So I'm not worried about getting middled on the number. That prop is 59.5 right now with what Josh did. I'm not sure that number shouldn't be 74.5 against Kansas City.
It's gonna be interesting to watch it, where some of these lines go, because like the one thing I do regret this weekend, Kevin, betting wise, and I said it all week long. And sometimes I'm like, you know what I like, even though I'm trying to put two and two together and it makes sense, I'm not gonna bet it. It's Josh Allen over his rushing props, and it was Lamar Jackson. Like, in what world did we didn't think they were gonna rush 10 times apiece, saying like, you know what, the pressure's on me, I have to make things happen out here, and they really did that. And I love the fact that this weekend's games too, Kevin. Did you know San Francisco's 69 degrees a kick? Off 2 mile-an-hour winds and no rain due for Sunday.
Whoa.
We're going to have a field day with that. Kansas City game, 44 degrees with winds around 7 miles an hour. I mean, we are looking at two of the best possible conditions you can get outside of being in domes. And the reason I bring that up in that 49ers game is you saw Brock Purdy struggle a little bit. Hey, do I need a glove? Do I don't need a glove? And, you know, not getting a grip on the football, passes coming out there. Same thing with Jared Goff. You want as close to dome conditions as you can get, and you are going to get that on Sunday. So it's not one of those weeks, Kevin, which sometimes sometimes you say, okay, I like the games I like. But the reason I put out that tweet yesterday, right, is like, look, man, quarterbacks in the dome today. Like, let's eat. And you did eat. They both went over the passing prop, both went over their touchdown prop, and the game went over the total. Why? Because one of the handicaps was not like, well, I'm winding in this direction. I don't know what's going to happen here. So I do think we're going to get some clean outputs at that point. 3.5, by the way, the Kansas City Chiefs are getting. There are some outlets at threes at -120 for the Ravens. And the Detroit Lions, which were below 6 today, now back up, were below 6.5, back up to 7 between the Lions and the 49ers. If you had to bet both of those games today, like, where are you going with those?
Ravens -3. Lions +7.
Yeah,
I have to get 7 if I'm betting Detroit. I'd have to get 7. Even though I do think the Lions could get routed in the football game, I'd still feel a little bit more comfortable with the 7. Where are you at on these totals early, Donnie? Like, kind of bet the high number high and the low number low?
You know, it's opposite, actually. It's opposite. I'm thinking about, like, that Ravens game, 44.5, knocking it over, and then the 49ers game taking the under.
Yeah, I may. The one thing that I was chuckling about yesterday with the Chiefs game and the Bills game going over, Donnie, is, and again, we all have our breakdowns, but I swear, if you watch that game and at no point did anything surprise you and you were like under 45.5, I just, it made me laugh. And again, like, it doesn't matter, right? Like, you weren't focused on the total of the game and prop bets went well. It's just the fact that game did what you thought it would, and the look was under. It made me laugh as I was watching it.
Yeah, and the game.
Of course, it went over. You kind of knew it would go over. I still believe.
But the play by play at this point, like, the game started 14 plays, 60 yards in a field goal, countered by 7 plays, 46 yards and a field goal. I'm like, this is exactly right. Even the touchdown drive by the Bills, 11 plays, 75 yards in 6 minutes, followed by the Chiefs, 10 plays, 60. See what I mean? Like there wasn't very many outside of the Chiefs. Looks like that 5 plays, 65 yards and a 6 for 75. But even like the touchdown for the Bills to make it 24-20, 15 plays, 75 yards, 8-25. It's like the defense actually couldn't get stops when they outside of those first two drives, but those long drives with long minutes were ending up in touchdowns.
Right, and again, that's what I'm like. But those defenses couldn't get a stop in hell.
None.
Like, there was nothing that they could do to get off.
Like,
of
even
the
missed field goal at the end of the game,
defenses.
Kevin. 16 plays, 54 yards.
Yes.
Like, the theory behind it was sound, except that we just didn't get the stops when we needed them.
But that's kind of my point on it, right? Like, you still had a missed field goal that would have tied this game up with 54 points on the board. Mecole Hardman fumbled out of the back of the end zone. Like,
that game got
to 51 still with so much going wrong, which I thought, and that's, again, I'm not critiquing even remotely the analysis. That's what I was laughing about. You were like, they're going to move the football all game long, but I have to take the under because it'll stall out. And to some degree, like, that is what happened, except for they just could not get off. Like, the defenses yesterday were terrible in that game. Yeah. It was just such an interesting game to watch play out. It really was.
Yep, 27-24 championship week up here. Just to get a quick preview here of the Super Bowl, since the early numbers are out for the four chances here. The Ravens, which I love this, because you know how I already play this out. I have a $100 ticket in that pays $1,900 if the Ravens win the Super Bowl, which would be awesome. I'm never going to see that ticket through, even if it's the Detroit Lions, Kevin, lining up against the Ravens.
No.
But my worst case scenario was going to be, I was like, oh, you know what? Let's just see things play out. And the Niners are so dominant that they come in that game against the Ravens if they match up at like 4.5. Because then that extends it up to, ooh, now I got to spend some money, right, on a, -220 money line. It's like, ooh, do I have to put up a grand and win like $500? The fact that this Super Bowl is lined right now at 1.5, or excuse me, 1.5, the money lines are 116 and 102, which means hedging opportunities for making a decent chunk are perfect. I just need the Ravens to get into the Super Bowl. And if it is the Lions, would be tremendous. But from a Super Bowl lineup purpose, the Ravens and the Niners would be very fun to talk about. And people say, well, about Kansas City. I'm tired of talking about Kansas City in the Super Bowl. Would love somebody new. Would love somebody new.
Absolutely. Hope they got absolutely railroaded in this game. I don't know, man. It's so funny because I spent a long time really liking that team, always rooting for Big Red. And I think, and I can acknowledge, I think some of it is they beat the Eagles last year. And that is still stuck in my craw. You know, like them yesterday beating the Bills and like waving goodbye. Like, I don't know, like, there's a part of like, aren't you better than this? Like, aren't you the dominant force? Like, I don't know. Like, that's not what Brady did after he won. I don't know. I think that team's going to get kicked in the ass by the Ravens. Here's my question to you, though. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're going to, it's like, you'll find out when you get there. But if it's the Niners, how much do you think you lay off? Like, just cut it in half, or
No. I actually depends. Here's the because it's not going to be a half because I want my ticket to mean more than like you know what I mean. So it would be like okay, let me at least try to win $1,100 the one way, which I'm fine with. Okay. If I have a $100 bet and I win $600 back and my team lost, I'm not going to get mad at that. But I'm certainly not going to watch Super Bowl Sunday cheering on the Ravens to watch them lose. Like, man, I could have just won $1,100 and just sat back and relaxed. I'll never let that happen. Didn't let it happen in the NCAA tournament either. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment here on a Monday of Moneyline. Good times had by all. And it's a shame that football season is winding down. But I always say, like, because we talked about this morning on the early line as well. Trust me right now, like, there is a little bit of a mourning period, like, the week after the Super Bowl, because transition kicks in. But there is almost literally, Kevin, no more fun month than March Madness that's coming up. And it's not that far around the corner. The NBA kicks in, and before you know it, we're doing baseball breakdowns because pitchers and catchers in like 3.5 weeks at this point right now. But it is a shame because football is so long and so easy to talk about that it seems like it never gets here. And then when it's here, it's like, hey, because I still remember us like breaking down repeatedly opening night with the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl when we were still doing the early line in the summer. Yeah. And it's like, oh, well, we're here, and it's going to be a long season. And trust me, it's look, you know how many miles I put on this season in football season? It's been a long season, but it doesn't feel long when it's at the end of it. But baseball always feels so damn long.
Yeah, absolutely it does. Baseball goes on for an eternity. Like, you know, though, for me, I really ramped up, Donnie, my futures market preparation for football season, and you know, I felt I owed it to myself and you know the folks that listen to us here on Sports Grid to do the same for the NBA season and college basketball season. So then it hit me. I'm like, so man, when do I do this again? And it's like, man, I got to do baseball futures. Like, I got to be betting win totals and MVPs. I'm like, I don't know, man. I might have to bring some people on and get their takes and opinions. And I don't know if I'll be in.
2 hour baseball shows coming up. How about that?
But you have listen,
2 hours of baseball coming up this summer.
Do me a favor, tweet at Kevin Walsh and at Right Side VP if you want Donnie along, but with me for baseball season at night. Yeah. Come on now.
Once again, that Twitter account, The Real Kevin Walsh. So that's how you get in touch with him. Put them all in there. Put them all in there, baby. Fun times ahead here, but we got a big week to get you ready for the Championship Sunday, which I absolutely love. The boys in PFT will be live in studio on Sunday to kick it off, but that'll do it for today's show. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. It's JP behind the wheels of steel. We will see you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.